Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Jared Waitley. Here's a snapshot of Wednesday, April 24. Luke Hodge believes it's clear how players need to adjust in light of the Toby Green suspension.
Well, make that decision a split second earlier.
So stay on the ground?
Stay on the ground.
Let Boyd take the mark?
If and I think that's what it comes down to now. That's what the AFL are saying. When they're trying to put a player's safety ahead of the game, we've had three people that have retired in the last 18 months through concussion, head trauma incidents, or multiple over the years. They're trying to get it to be a safer playing field for everyone. So you need to make that decision a little bit earlier. This is what they're asking. And I can sit back and I can hear a lot of players going, hey, that they've done this so many times. It's a split second. And this is what they're asking to do. Slow down, corral. And maybe if you've got a man the mark and not attempt to contest this contest, then so be it. This is what they're requesting from the players.
Brenton Sanderson made a suggestion for how coaches embrace the Anzac spirit with their teams.
Even at AFL level, but particularly at community level, when we compare AFL, to the defence force and what our young soldiers have, or I guess are currently doing when they're on service, but also to what's gone before us. But I think we're drawn to that because of the values of the Anzac spirit, you know, courage and mateship, sacrifice, endurance. They're very similar values to what football clubs have, and we often can sometimes go too deep on that, I think, when it comes to footy games. And it can distract players from the process of winning a game of football. So I was a senior coach for 3 years. We did it at Adelaide because at AFL level, you've got the players full time. We took the opportunities, and I thought I really enjoyed it, and I think the players did at the time as well. We took the opportunity to focus on different elements in Australia's history. We focused on Gallipoli, obviously one year, the Rats of Tobruk, and also to Kokoda, which I know some AFL clubs. I know Hawthorn in particular. You know, they do the Kokoda Trail, and they take their players on that sort of adventure, which the players get an education as well as preparing them for those similar values as I discussed. But I think sometimes it's foolish to be able to almost drown players in those elements and those emotions before a footy game. I think it's a little bit disrespectful, I think.
And Sando outlined the key elements for Essendon and Collingwood in the blockbuster.
Yeah, well, Collingwood, they're still bottom five for inside 50 differential. So they need to get the ball in their front half. That's going to be a key element, I think, for Craig McRae tomorrow. They're just relying a bit too much on their back half at the moment. We saw that shift in the game against Port Adelaide. So if they can dial up their forward pressure, create turnovers in their front half, look for repeat inside 50s, I think that's going to be a key element for them. But I just think the number one key element for Craig McRae and the Pies tomorrow is I don't think Essendon can defend Collingwood for four quarters if they play with dare and creativity. So they must take the game on in offense. They can't take a backward step if they make a few mistakes. I just don't think, and I love the Essendon edge, I just don't think it can survive Collingwood if their offense is really going high octane. So, I think if Pies can score plus 100 points, they win. So the classic Lee Matthews, first to 100 will win this game. I'm thinking the Pies are just going to go red hot on this and try and break away with their offense in this game.
And for Essendon?
Well, if if Collingwood's front half pressure is back, and we saw elements of that last week, they've got to discuss how they exit their D50. Are they really missing Ridley? I think he's going to be fantastic when he comes back. But if their front half pressure is back, Collingwood, they've got to discuss how they exit D50 with their offense. And can they stop Collingwood at the source? So I talked about contest and clearance. They can't let the Pies get outside. That's going to be the key element for Essendon, keep this game in a contest. And I think the final key element for Essendon is what to do with Dacos. I just think if Collingwood are going to win this game, Nick Dacos is going to have a huge game. So they've got to limit his influence. They've got to work out how they do that. And when they've seen what they've done recently with their midfield and how they've restructured and shut players down, Durham's probably the one that's going to get that role. Can that work tomorrow? It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, they've used Durham and Caldwell in roles recently, so they have a template for it where maybe they haven't had a template in recent years.
Yeah, they've had some success recently with those two players just playing that sort of lockdown, shutdown role. I'm sure they're going to look for that opportunity tomorrow.
Chief Executive Justin Rodsky shared the Melbourne Storm's rituals this week.
We're always about history, so we very much acknowledge our part and what we've done over the last 15 years and continue to educate our staff and our people around the history of the game from a Melbourne Storm perspective. And we have a club lunch, which we held on Monday each year, where we invite return service men or women to come down and speak about their own story and what it means to them and what Anzac Day means to them. And we also have one of our staff members who recently was part of the Afghanistan mission, and he's now coaching in our Jersey flag team. And he very much spoke about, the significance in terms of sacrifice of family. He talked about, we always think about the soldiers who are away at war, but, it's often the families that are the ones that are paying the ultimate sacrifice and always worried about their loved ones coming home. So that was a really moving part of the week for us. And, it gives great perspective and, it's so important. And we always make sure as well our new players, like Sean Bohr this week went down to the Shrine of Remembrance and laid a wreath. And, all of those things I think are an important part of the week and an important part for the club, but then also the vehicle and the role that we play and continue to educate the next generation on what Anzac Day means.
What does the Guernsey represent this year, Justin?
Yeah, so the jersey this year is actually designed with a zigzag formation that's similar to the trenches that were built in World War One. And if you look at the shrine, there are actually four courtyards around the shrine that have the same zigzag pattern. It's also got a camouflage called Dazzle on it, which doesn't sound as it appears. So usually, obviously, camouflage is to conceal, but back in World War One and World War Two, the Navy actually put this camouflage in place that was called Dazzle, that was actually meant to be deceptive for the enemy so that they couldn't quite target or understand the distance to target the enemy. And so the design's very much reflective of those key features that were a big part of the story that we wanted to tell from visiting the shrine and understanding more about the history of World War One and World War Two and Australia's role in it.
And Andrew Voss with details of an intriguing lawsuit in the NRL world.
Well, it's massive. It has the layman who has never experienced first grade rugby league asking the question, so how do they get through boot camps and army camps, which I'm sure AFL pre-seasons include as well. And in Australia, you train in the heat of summer when these things are happening, where you get pushed to the limit. So a lot of people are scratching their head saying, well, this player has gone to the absolute nth degree here. I wonder how many others have contemplated it. Now, in this case, Jackson Torpedy, the young Canterbury player, what we know, and all of this will come out, this will be quite a lengthy process, but as part of a code of some kind, and clubs have it, you could ask Cameron Smith, they had a wheel, you spin, it's everything from having to do extras in some degree to washing cars to whatever. At Canterbury, apparently, the punishment, if you will, here, was a wrestling session. And what we were led to believe is this player then had to wrestle pretty much every player in the squad in one hit. What will be investigated? Other players will need to come forward. I think everyone would have to give evidence and give their account and how they felt. In was this unusual? Was this out of the ordinary? From the experience to the junior players in the club. But it's a very serious case. The amount of money, obviously, we are going down a sort of an ambit line. You start at the high figure, but it's going to be an intriguing case. I dare say watch by far more than just the rugby league folk.
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available through the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.